I salute the presence of God in everyone. My reflection. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. I salute the presence of God in everyone. My reflection. We have a tendency to look at the world and judge the world and say the world is good, bad, or indifferent because of the appearances that we see. We do not take responsibility for the fact that the world is our reflection. Everything we see in the world, we have thought it into being. We have created it. We have given it power to be. We've empowered it. And so whatever we see is what we have created. Now, you might say, well, everybody in the world must be pretty bad creators, must be pretty ugly people to create war, famine and pestilence and things like that. Well, do they? Are you enjoying war, famine and pestilence? Are you enjoying that? Are you experiencing it in your everyday life? Are you thinking about it 90% of the time? You think about it now and then. So think about that. You create it in your life for a moment, as long as it's exciting and interesting. And then if something more interesting comes along, you create that. Mm-hmm. You create going to the movie, going to the park, eating your dinner. Our life is filled with our creation. Some people live war. That's their whole life. Army people. You can't say the army. You can say the heads of the army. The generals and officers. They're the ones who think war all the time. They are creating a war. If there's not a war going on, they create it somewhere. They go whisper into the president's ear, that nation's not very nice. They need to be brought under control. They're doing this and that. They're going anti-human relations, you know. And, of course, what are they doing? They're going against man's inhumanity to man. They're going into that very same thing by going there and telling other people how to live, telling other people what is right and wrong for them. Can we tell the Muslims that they shouldn't have their women wear these veils or dark clothes? Or what about these caps that they wear, a long piece of cloth that they wind round, 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 round on their head? And what about the Mennonite people and their long hair, their long beards, and their black hats and their black coats, and they don't like to use automobiles. They use horse and buggies. They don't realize that the horse and buggy is just one stop too on the way. Somebody, they shouldn't be using horses and buggies. They shouldn't be using anything mechanical, because what's the difference between saying mechanical horse and buggy or mechanical car, you know? So, but that's a part of their game. They have set the program for what their belief is, and they follow it. And you respect them. But their attitude toward life is different in many ways from the attitude of a normal city child who is living in a world where he lives in a cheap area of town, an area of town where it's a tenement property. Another child lives in a modest area of town. Another child lives in a rich area of town. I mean, each one of these kids have different attitudes about life. They have different attitudes about what makes the world go round. And what does a rich kid see? He sees other rich kids. We heard the story about the boy, the father took him out to the country to see a poverty-stricken farm. And the boy saw the farm, and he says, wow, 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 wow. And his dad had no idea what he meant by his wows. So on the way home, the father said, well, son, what did you think of what you saw? Oh, Dad, now I know what poverty is all about. they have a lake that runs from as far as the eye can see, and they can swim in it. We have a little pond in our backyard. They have land that goes to the horizon. We have a fence around our property. They have neighbors who come in and work with them and play with them and are enjoyable to them. We hire servants. I didn't realize we were so poor, Dad. You see, it's all a matter of how you look at things. Now, did the boy see any of the drudgery of the farm? Oh, sure, but he didn't call it drudgery. I used to go visit my friend Fred Smart on his farm, and I didn't call it drudgery. I would go out there on a weekend. I'd be at the lake cottage, and we'd be just having a good time, and I'd go over to his house. And we would pick up the eggs from under the chickens. We'd milk the cows. We'd pitch the hay. We'd do all sorts of things. Busy, busy, busy work. Well, for him, that was just normal because it had to be done. But for me, that was really a lot of fun because I didn't do that as a city boy. It was a totally different thing. So it's all a matter of what we're thinking about, what we're exposed to. It's our reflection. I thought all that stuff was good, was wonderful, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Now, if I had to do some of those things, I might have thought, well, no, that's not too cool for me. But I didn't have to do any of them. I went out there and just had fun. And for my friend Fred, it was work, but it was fun because that's all he knew. And for me, it was fun because it wasn't work. I didn't have to do it. I did it because I wanted to. Now, what's our reflection in this world? What sort of thing do we look at? When we look around us, do we see a happy time? I came in the house this morning, a little cold box in here, and the thermostat was turned off, the air conditioner was turned off, the heater was turned off, everything was turned off, and so I turned it on. Well, why wasn't it turned on earlier? Puh, who cares? Who cares? So I came in and turned it on. Now, I really didn't need to turn it on because I have to sit here all dressed up like a fish anyhow. So what's our reflection? Now, Ellen came down to visit my house in the Hermitage, and she walked in the door and she said, oh, so warm in here. Well, for me, it was just cozy and toasty. And it wasn't bad at all. And after she sat there for a while, it was nice and normal. But she comes in from the fresh outside where it's cool and she's all dressed up, you know, ready to go to some sort of a ski slide thing. And then she wonders why it's warm in my house. Now, it's all a reflection. And after Ellen was sitting there talking about her family and her needs and her desires and her world, she forgot all about the fact that it had been warm when she first came in because she warmed up to the other subjects. But this is what we do. This is what we do. We think it's so wonderful, all the things that we create. And then we get unhappy sometimes with the things we create because we think that, hey, that really isn't so cool. So what do? We create what's cool. Now, what would be a cool thing for Ingeborg? A cool thing for Ingeborg would be to live in her ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, if you lived in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, your ideal spirit, well, that's cool. Your mind, alert, sharp, crisp, wonderful, and body, a healthy body. I was thinking just this morning about Ronald Reagan, you know, and Carter, you know, and the various other presidents, Johnson, what have you. And each one of these presidents, except for Carter, experienced some very negative things in their life. They experienced Alzheimer's disease for Reagan. So he doesn't recognize or know anybody that he's around. What he does, I don't know, but he's just still living and still percolating. Whether he rides horses or not anymore, it's hard to say. But he's alive. But here he is in his 90s, and he cannot use his mind the way he wants to, the way he did all of his life. Now, what a sad way. What a sad thing not to be able to do that for us. First, what's going on inside of his head? What sort of thoughts is he thinking? We don't know because he doesn't tell us. But do you think that he's not home up there? He's home, but he's not communicating it. People with Alzheimer's disease have a tendency to be appearing to be forgetful and not doing all the things that they should do. But why is it that he didn't live to his old age until he moved into his next dimension in his ideal spirit, mind, and body? Why didn't he do that? You know? Well, he's a noble man, but he spent most of his time with a crooked nose. He had his nose in everybody else's business. And in a noble way, he was in everybody else's business to help them live a better life, to help them with their problems, to help them. Oh, he was himself and having fun a good deal of the time. But you see, he knew that being himself and having fun was the A1 thing to do, okay? And so, if he knew this, and then he began to worry about other people, worry about their welfare, about their good health, about whatever he did, then he started going downhill. You see, every time that Reagan was thinking about himself, what would make him happy? And what would make him happy made the country happy. It was everything that's beautiful. But the minute he started allowing the politicians to get in there and tell him what else he should think, how he should think about this group or that group or somebody else's, and how certain people are having not good experiences, and he should concern himself with that. In that, he got in trouble. He went to speak to the foreign dignitaries of all nations, and he stood up like a king, always. He didn't tell them what to do. He just told them, here we are. We're here to work with you in any way that you want to make your country into a happy, successful country. Now, those things were not told. Those things were not told in the public press. And they were not told for one reason. And that was, the public press, too, is its own reflection. They think that the world wants to hear the unmagic, not the magic. They think the world wants to hear about all the tragedies and the hang-ups and the unhappiness in the world, and not all of the good stuff. Well, again, Reagan was the good stuff. But he also listened. And what's the saying? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. So when you know the principles and then you don't use them properly for your benefit, I tell you, your world will come tumbling down. You think it's a joke. You think it's a big joke. Remember the story about Lot? What about the story of Lot?
His wife, what?
Looked back and then...
His wife violated what she was told not to do. The Spirit told them, get out of town and don't look back. And she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, it's symbolic. Yet, it probably was more true than we know. She could well have turned into a pillar of salt. But she was left behind because there was no place for her in the new world. Now, why did Lot and his wife and family leave that community? What was it called?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
It was called Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was that community? A community of actions that were not harmonious with Lot and his family. But apparently his wife liked it more than she let on. So she looked back, oh dear, my community. You see?
Mm-hmm.
We, in our moments, look back and we fall hard. See, if Reagan had been the childlike person he was all his life, no problem. What's about Jimmy Carter, the president who's still trucking around the world and doing things? What did Jimmy Carter do in his entire administration? He didn't care about the problems of the world. He looked for the solutions and the happiness of the world. He looked everywhere to find goodness, and he did. Now, why was he so strong? Can you think of what it might be?
He had a strong religious belief.
He had a strong religious belief. Whether we have the same belief or not doesn't matter, but he had a strong religious belief, and he believed in himself, and he believed in his God. And to this day, he's still trucking around with his wife, Roseanne or Rosalie or whatever, and they're doing great. And he's helping people build houses. And he's an older man too, but he's not limited. And he is respected, and his brain is still as agile as ever. He does not go into a nation to help them with their problems. He goes into a nation to help them with their
solutions.
And he will not listen to the problems. He says, there's little I can do about your problem, but I can do something about the solution, whatever it is you want to put in motion. And people respect him. They respect him because of one thing. Can you tell me what it is?
He respects himself.
He respects himself. Now, whenever you have a reflection around you that is not what you think is good or very good, then it's a reflection of you. And though you may say one thing, you don't really like yourself. You don't really believe in yourself. So we have to be very careful. We should go around, like our statement says here, I salute the presence of God in everyone. My reflection. Sounds good. I salute the presence of God in everyone, my reflection. I was walking the path again yesterday. I'm always walking the path, it seems, coming up with good ideas. And I was thinking, who am I fooling here at the university? Here I am at the university offering a way of life, a philosophy that can uplift people and embellish their lives into some beautiful expression. And they don't listen. They don't listen. They go only part way. They say, yeah, but. And so I become uptight with them and I say, please listen, please pay attention, please do these things. And then I keep saying to myself, Herb, let go. Let them just be your reflection of harmony, peace, and happiness. And in your world, that's all you'll see of them. And if in their world they want to act silly and not accept that, that's okay too. But in your world, you just see them perfect and don't think another thing about it. You don't have to get in there and make things happen. You just live it for yourself. Because this is what you teach. You teach that we don't need to change the life of another being. We merely live what we believe for ourselves and who we are. So, I salute the presence of God in everyone, and I see only my reflection. And this is what I'm going to diligently seek to do. Salute the presence of God in everyone and see only my reflection. And not be a teacher anymore, not be a sharer, just be me. And if anyone likes me, that's good. If anyone doesn't like me, that's good. But you know, when you're just yourself, you don't get in trouble. You get in trouble when you try to help other people be just themselves. But when you are just yourself, you have no interest in what anyone else does except that you are there and you're being yourself and you're having fun. This is not an easy direction to go, because we've been trained from childhood on to be our neighbor's keeper, you know, our brother's keeper. And as long as that's what we're going to do, we're going to have the little old lady at the street corner dragging on our hand. And when we get across the street, she'll say, "Please, I didn't want to cross the street. I was waiting for a bus over there." And the little do-gooder Boy Scout said, "But lady, it's my job to take little old ladies across the street." "Well, not when I'm waiting for a bus over there." And this is what we do. Did the little old lady get the message across soon enough to him? No. But she was just surprised at him taking her hand and leading her across the street. And he thought perhaps he knew something she didn't know. You know, like a car was going to come across there or something. But no, you see, this is putting our nose in someone else. And can you see? Can you see? The Boy Scouts, as wonderful as they are, they're teaching, do a good deed. Mm-hmm. Be your neighbor's keeper, your brother's keeper. And all these wonderful organizations, they have these little areas where they forget. Alcoholic Anonymous, so wonderful, but it has one flaw. And it says, you must always remember that you are an alcoholic, always. Well, it doesn't allow for any growth, doesn't allow for any awareness, any newness. And it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing because we live in the now. And I can tell you, in this simple statement, if you think about war, you'll have war. If you think about alcohol, you'll have alcohol. If you think about drugs, you'll have drugs. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as wonderful as these things are, I find it difficult to promote that aspect of it, because I can only say, I hear the philosophy of Jesus, I hear the teachings of this wonderful, wonderful being, and I follow them. And they say, is your teaching Christian? I said, no, not at all. Because a Christian thinks that they're better than others, and a Christian thinks that they're the only way to heaven, and a Christian thinks that if you are not a Christian, you are a bad person. Now, that's something Jesus never said. That's something the Christ never taught. And that's something I can never adhere to. I can only say, everyone is the Christ. I can only say that everyone can see in the other their own divinity. Become a Jimmy Carter or a Ronald Reagan or a few of these other great people that we've known, and watch the miracles take place in your life. They're wonderful. I salute the presence of God in everyone, for it's my reflection alone. I love you, I love you, I love you.